The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Friday night, and we're going to spend the first hour with Dean Henderson, who always has a lot to say. We share many similar views. I think many of you out there would agree that Dean has nailed this over and over again. It's not hard to do. We have such chaos in the White House now that it is, it's so far over the top, it's out of sight. Dean, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, just appalled. I mean, I shouldn't be. I shouldn't even react to it. But I'm appalled to the extent that I see over and over again how much further down the road of lunacy this is going. It just isn't slowing down.
Yeah, it's just kindergarten class. And
yeah.
I don't know. What do you say? I mean, horrible.
The bully administration of Donald J. Trump. I don't think even you, who, you know, you're definitely not a Trump fan, never were. I bought into it. I thought that there was a small chance that some of the things he had promised would be able to be implemented, but none of them. Except for TPP, none of them have happened. And in fact, he continues to accelerate into the ether of neocon insanity. It's getting worse and worse. His performance at the United Nations was, I think, in many ways worse than that of Nikita Khrushchev when he took his shoe off and pounded it on the rostrum, threatening to bury the United States. I mean, this is just nutty. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
Well, I think, you know, the Iranian foreign minister pretty much nailed it, you know, ignorant hate speech. And what else can you say? It's just embarrassing to have our president, you know, representing supposedly us, saying these insane things. Like, Iran sponsors terrorism. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. Iran's been the biggest fighter against ISIS, against U.S., British, Israeli, Saudi-sponsored terrorism in the world. And they just, you know, you thought that lie was going to go to bed because, I mean, you know, there's never been any evidence that they were ever involved in any terrorism. And, you know, it was always a lie. And then it seemed like, oh, for 10 years, we didn't hear the lie anymore. Okay, maybe we can get along and do this nuclear deal. And now he wants to blow that up. And then he talks, and he just keeps taking the bait with this crazy North Korean guy, and he's just as crazy as he is. And
I'm not sure. Kind of I'm not sure I'm not sure. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, we'll see. It was crazier, right?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that it is, that's even close, because, I mean, we're talking about Kim Jong-il here.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you read his, did you read his verbatim statement, his reply?
I didn't read the verbatim.
Oh, no, you need to.
Yeah, what's it say? You should read it first of all, because maybe a lot of people. I heard some quotes out of it, but
they did was they excised the quotes that would make him look the worst. I read it last night. I'll read it again. What the hell?
Please,
all right,
I'd
because
like
he doesn't get he doesn't get appropriate media coverage.
True.
His remarks are always excised and used against him.
True.
It's right up there at the top.
Yeah. That's true.
It's not very long. It's 450 words or something. Here's what he said. Now, remember, this is an educated man, and he is a man who is leading a country that was decimated by this country in the Korean War. We killed one third of all North Koreans. Collateral damage? No, it was wholesale slaughter. Here is a man who remembers that, not that he was alive then, but his culture is ingrained with the grief and the suffering that they certainly blame the United States for.
Indeed.
Here's what he said. The speech made by the U.S. president in his maiden address on the U.N. arena in the prevailing serious circumstances in which the situation on the Korean Peninsula has been rendered tense as never before and is inching closer to a touch-and-go state, is arousing worldwide concern. Shaping the general idea of what he would say, I expected he would make stereotyped, prepared remarks, a little from what he used to utter in his office on the spur of the moment as he had to speak on the world's biggest official diplomatic stage. That's what I thought he would say. But far from making any remarks of any persuasive power that can be viewed to be helpful in diffusing tension, he made unprecedented, rude nonsense no one has ever heard from any of his predecessors. A frightened dog barks louder. I'd like to advise Trump to exercise prudence in selecting words and be considerate of whom he speaks to when making a speech in front of the world. The mentally deranged behavior of the U.S. president openly expressing on the U.N. arena, the stage, the unethical will to totally destroy a sovereign nation beyond the boundary of threats and regime change, and overturning a social system makes even those with normal thinking facilities think about discretion and composure. His remarks remind me of such words as political layman and political heretic, which were in vogue in reference to Trump during his presidential election campaign. After taking office, Trump has rendered the world restless through threats and the blackmail against all countries in the world. He is unfit to hold the prerogative of supreme command of a country, and he is surely a rogue and a gangster fond of playing with fire rather than a politician. His remarks, which described the U.S. option through straightforward expression of his will, have convinced me, rather than frightening or stopping me, that the path I chose is correct, and that it is the one I have to follow to the last. Now that Trump has denied the existence of and insulted me and my country in front of the eyes of the world and made the most ferocious declaration of war in history that he would destroy the DPRK, we will consider with seriousness exercising the corresponding highest level of hardline countermeasure in history. Action is the best option in treating the dotard who, hard of hearing, is utterly only what he wants to say.
Yeah.
Here's the finish. As a man representing the DPRK, and on behalf of the dignity and honor of my state and my people, and on my own, I will make the man holding the prerogative of the supreme command in the U.S. pay dearly for his speech calling for totally destroying the DPRK. This is not a rhetorical expression loved by Trump. I am now thinking hard about what response he could have expected when he allowed such eccentric words to trip off of his tongue. Whatever Trump might have expected, he will face results beyond those expectations. I will surely and definitely tame the mentally deranged U.S. dotard with fire. End quote.
Wow. That's a good speech.
Yeah, it's better than
Trump's. Trump's crazier. You're right. I mean, well, and it's important you bring up the history, Jeff, because that's what people don't understand about North Korea. You know, they can... You know, yeah, it's a strange place. We don't understand it. They're autarkic, which is a fancy word meaning it doesn't happen very often in history. It hasn't happened hardly ever in history. There's been a few countries that have done it, but they just want nothing to do with the globalization or the global economy or the international capitalist order whatsoever. And so they try to just keep to themselves. And that's what they pretty much have done. And what have we done? We've, you know, and also it's important to point out, yeah, the United States killed a third of their people. The Japanese were in cahoots with the United States the whole time and then harassed Korea even after that. Still harass them to this day, really. Divided Korea, which even most South Koreans aren't in favor of. What's interesting is the guy that came in as South Korean president and replaced Park, the woman who got involved in that big scandal, you remember, she was a real conservative and she's a real hawk and she was very hardline. Right. Towards North Korea. So another angle here is the fact that the last thing the U.S. and Japan wanted, the last thing they want is Korean unification, peaceful, because that means their 7 military bases in Japan are redundant. That means their whole Pacific fleet is not necessary in the North Pacific. That means that they have to close down all the stuff in South Korea, bring the boys home, save a bunch of money, and maybe build us some roads. So the last thing they want is unification of Korea or a peaceful solution. So what they've done to this new president who was more progressive, more open to unification, which many, I'd say the majority of South Koreans, that's what they want. They don't have this terrible animosity towards North Koreans that we do, that the West does. They want unification because a lot of their families are still split up to this day, for one thing. So one of the purposes of this whole thing is to turn this new guy into more of a hawk, you know, see?
Yeah.
And we got to keep the arms flowing, you know, the key, right, at the bottom line. And also the fact that, you know, people don't realize North Korea, along with the Cubans in the 60s, they sent a lot of people to Africa to help liberate Mozambique, Namibia, Angola, all these countries against the apartheid, Cecil Rhodes, the Anglo-American, De Beers, Rothschild, you know, syndicate in that region. And so, you know, that's the thing. And, of course, they're caricatured, or he's caricatured in the news. His father was, too. And maybe they are a little crazy and eccentric, but the bottom line, yeah, is we're the provokers. We're the ones flying the sorties. We're the ones with the aircraft carriers off the coast. We're the ones doing exercises with South Korea. We're the ones with the THAAD missile batteries in South Korea, which even the Russians have demanded that we remove because it threatens them, because it also threatens China. And, you know, to go off like this and just say you're going to destroy an entire people, and I mean, that's just, it's just like Hitler. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And his speech,
I would say, let's not forget Joseph Stalin and Lenin and... I'm sorry, but I got every time people lay it on, and understandably, all on Hitler. He wasn't the only one.
No, not all, but he's a bad guy, and he's one of many. Yeah, for sure, Pol Pot. You can go on, but
that's right.
But anyway, you know, it's just the idea being that, I mean, that's just crazy talk. You know, when you talk about that, I mean, when you talk about just nixing a whole country.
It's unbelievable to hear. This is the United Nations. It's supposedly world format for dialogue and discussion and remediating differences. And he did a Nikita Khrushchev. He pulled his shoe. He might as well have taken his shoe off and pounded it on the rostrum.
Yep. Yeah,
they've been just the same.
Unbelievable. And, you know, I just, and you're right, it's a bully. It's, I'm telling you right now, it's empty threats. Kim Jong-il's got it exactly right in his speech that he just read, because it's empty threats and it's rhetoric. It's rhetorical, because that's what bullies do. They talk a big game, then you knock them on their ass, and the first they get up crying and being the victim and run home to mama, because I've done that a few times to bullies. That's kind of what I've done in my life. I've never started a fight, but I've never lost a fight. And a lot of them, that's what they do. They talk a big game, and then, boom, they go down hard, and then they're crying like little victims, and they go running home to mommy. Well, that's what Trump's going to do, and that's what he's dragging us into here, because this guy's serious. Koreans have this thing called honor that supersedes sort of the internet and Facebook and posturing and posing and, you know, getting a selfie or any of this crap that has just destroyed Western culture. And they're serious people that have serious values and serious honor. And he just crossed the line. And I'm very concerned about what's coming for the American people.
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, many of them deserve it.
Oh, but yes. That too. It. Yep.
Because rah, 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 you know.
Yep. Yep.
For the
yep.
war machine. And I'm sick of it. And they're bullies too. And a lot of them are bullies. And, you know, that's why they got this guy in the White House, because they liked his. They like this bully attitude, you know.
Well, you saw
it. It's one thing to say, don't be politically correct. It's another thing to say, being a bully is acceptable, you know. I'm not politically correct either, you might have noticed, but I'm not a bully. You know, I don't go around bullying people. That's different. That's beyond not being politically correct. That's
well,
being
he acted
evil.
Like a thug, not a president. It wasn't
like
an America First address.
It was our national. And the only reason, yeah, and he just did that to get the alt-right on board, and you see it, and... Good on you for, you know, admitting the error, because a lot of them haven't.
Oh, I was one of the first to pull the plug on him, right? The first week he was in office, when he sent more Americans to Europe to go with NATO on the border of Russia, I said, nope, that's it. Done.
And I applaud you for that. That takes a lot of courage. And
I paid a price for it. We lost a lot of...
Well, you know, hey, you shouldn't. I mean, you should be applauded for it, because it just means you're accountable. You know, you accept accountability. We all make judgment mistakes. I've made many, many in my life. But as long as you say, hey, my bad, I was wrong, you know, then that's what counts, right?
Yeah.
And but a lot of them haven't, and that's going to sort out the wheat from the chaff here. And those are the bullies, you know, like Alex Jones. Like, the louder you talk and the fatter you are, the more people listen. That's just like Pavlov's dog stuff, man. And I'm so sick of that. And it's like Rush Limbaugh. And it's like American people are conditioned to believe loud, fat people more. It's kind of weird, right? It's kind of fascist, right? I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, but if you talk, you know, in a slow, gentle, then you're not, you know, oh, what's wrong with that guy? You know, I don't believe him, you know. But, it, you know, people are like that. I mean, you watch, you know, people watch TV, and they're just so much more prone to listen to those kind of loud, arrogant, smug, for sure I know everything kind of people who just, you know, they project this idea that they just have no doubt about what they're telling you, you know. But they have all this doubt, and they're very insecure, most of them, and so are most Americans. And I guess that's why, you know, the people listen to them. But it's just scary. It's just scary, because it just tells you that posturing is all that matters. Content doesn't matter.
No.
You know, it doesn't matter what you actually have to say. It's more about how you say it.
It's all style, no substance.
Style, yeah. And that's so scary and creepy about our culture that's happened. And, of course, social media and the internet and nonstop television and just all this electronic alien Anunnaki invasion, pre-invasion crap just makes it worse and just sucks people further into this. And it's got to change. I mean, we've got to get to a point where we care about content. We care about honor. We care about accountability and admitting we're wrong when we're wrong. And, you know, things like that, you know, values, a value system, a real value system instead of a fake value system, you know, and that's kind of what we got here. And that's why we got Trump. Let's face it. I mean, everything, I guess we deserve Trump in a way.
Yes, we do.
Because we got him, you know, and yeah, there's cheating in the election. I'm sure there always is, but still a lot of people, you know, we got him. But that's what they did. They went around, they fooled all right, and he didn't mean any of that stuff, obviously. The TTIP you're talking about, he did even before the election, and I guess he actually maybe signed it right after the election. That was the bone he threw, right?
That was it. And that was the only one we've gotten.
That was the only one, and everything else was just a
total
ruse.
Neocon,
total
globalist.
Total Resorts International Mafioso, right. working for Israel, working for the Rothschilds, an insider parading himself as an outsider. That's what I call Trump nowadays. That's what he is. He's an insider who paraded himself as an outsider as a political tactic to win the election because he knew it was going to be tight. And the good news is he knew the American people, they knew, the Illuminati, who run everything, both sides, Hillary and Trump, they knew that they had to have, as a major party candidate, a person who could portray himself in that manner. Why? Because the American people are, in fact, waking up. That's the good news. They had, in other words, they had to send Trump to Alex Jones. They had to. And right. that's good on us, I guess, at least. You can say that. You can say that in the past they haven't even had to make that attempt. You know, they could just run two slime balls who didn't even have that appearance and get away with it. So that was a big, it was a trick. It was a sly little trick. And the even slyer trick is the way that's divided us and the way people have jumped into these camps and picked a side. And both sides are rotten. Don't pick a side. Stay off the sides, you know, right now. Obviously, you know, we know that. But a lot of people don't know that. And they're just in their corner, one corner or the other. There's only two corners, you know. And it's just, this is what you get. I mean, you look at stuff that you see on the internet and how just the rhetoric and the coarseness of discussion and the insults and the hive mentality, just going after people, attacking Charles Barkley for criticizing black men for, you know, not hanging with the families. I thought, what, a racist, really? Charles Barkley's a racist. The black community calling Charles, really? And an incident in Ireland, Richard Allen was telling me about this guy criticized, you know, he said, well, yeah, these rapists, it's terrible, these immigrant rapists, but you gotta, you know, why are the women getting so drunk in Ireland and letting this happen? And all of a sudden, he's just evil, you know. And because why? Because those women won't accept accountability, because those black men will not accept accountability. Nobody accepts accountability. And then they turn into a politically correct thing and hide behind it.
And use it, bleed it, take everything they can with it.
Take it, baby. Be a taker. They're all takers, and they're narcissistic, and it's just horrible.
What do these people give back? And I'm talking about African-Americans, white Americans, all these people on the handout, on the dole. What do they give back? Asian-Americans. And worst of all are these United Nations so-called refugees who are coming over here and getting full rides, free rides, while Americans, good, worthy, hardworking Americans, are taking it in shorts. What are they giving us?
Yep, I know, and that's just they're giving us. They're giving us divide and conquer. I mean, that's why they send them. That's why they do that. I think that's why it's all set up this way.
Right.
It's all set up this way. They know that if they can create these ludicrous programs, that they'll get one side to just jump in bed with it, and they'll get this other side to just hate it, and they'll divide people, and then we'll hate the immigrants instead of hating the factories owners where they work, because they love that stuff. These guys, I mean, these big shot meat packers and, you know, turkey plants and chicken plants and wherever these people work.
Right.
They love illegal immigration. Are you kidding me? So, but we don't hate them. You know, we don't see how they're on the dole. We don't see how they're
getting
subsidized.
No, I used to say, Dean.
And of course they're getting subsidized by illegal immigrants. That's who's subsidizing them. And we let them in. And we take jobs from the American people. So, yeah, they're takers too. But that it's a culture of takers. And it's almost like if you come to America, you know that. So, hey, I'm going to come be a taker too.
Yeah. See, it's not a horizontal line where you got a left, center, and a right. It's a bicycle wheel. It's a bicycle wheel. They're just in different locations in the radius. And all the spokes go right to the center. And at the center are the globalist, Zionist, banksters, and controllers. And they have their spokes of influence and control going out like tentacles all the way around the bicycle wheel.
All the way around the bicycle wheel. That's a great analogy. All the way around it, in every group, every movement, every persuasion. So that's why, you know, really you need to, you know, for me, I'm an anarchist, really, is what I am, because if you want to define me, which I hate any of that, but okay, that's what I am, because I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to call every situation the way I see it. I'm not going to, you know, do this identity politics where just because I believe one thing, that makes me this thing, you know, that's just giving up your brain.
Right.
Giving up your soul, giving up your ability to cognate to some herd. I mean, and then you pretty much are sheeple. And that's what the Rothschilds want. And that's what they call us. We're goy cattle to them.
Getting worse, Dean. Getting worse. They're dumbing us down. The millennials, now there's the snowflakes. We are really being taken down, and there's no way to remediate that. It's not going to happen.
God's coming. Look at the weather. There's stuff coming. Yeah. There's a reckoning coming. I don't, you know, you can describe it in whatever sort of metaphysical or physical or physics terms you want to describe it, but there's something coming. And my own take on it is God's getting sick of this shit, and he's going to do something about it, whoever that is, whatever that is. But it's the good force out there, and I do, that's me. That's my belief. I believe in God. I believe in Creator. And I think, you know, he lets people go and do stuff, and he, you know, just like he let the Anunnaki do their thing on us and whatever, he lets go. And then at some point, it's like, no, sorry, great flood, giants underground, done. Boogie Enoch, forget about it. And that's what's coming, I think, because, I mean, we've had so many chances, and we just can't seem to, we just get worse. Like you say, it's just getting worse. More and more people going to the dark side.
It's being taken down. See, along with the disintegration and deconstruction of our society, our mores, our way of life, good, bad, or indifferent, is this darkness that is growing, the evil on the planet the is growing. That's something that I don't even begin to know how to take on. I just don't. Yeah, except to lead by example. That's all we can do.
Right. That's what you got to do, is just stay true to yourself. That old axiom is so important right now. You just stay true to yourself. And whatever else goes on around you, yeah, we don't know what we're going to do about it. We're going to need help. But stay true to yourself. Don't in any way join in with that or get sucked into it. You know, you're right. Your statement earlier about I shouldn't even react to it. Yeah, I know what you mean. You're right. We shouldn't even react to it, actually. But it's hard, you know, because it's just so pervasive and so prevalent. And you know, we talked about it before. We both just stay home a lot, you know.
Yeah, I rarely leave. If I go to the store to get food, it's a vacation.
Yeah, and that's like a freaky thing anymore, right? Just going to the store and get food.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Look at all these people. They've mutilated their bodies. They've got metal and rings and crap. God only knows where. Beside the ones you can see, and they're all trying to show how unique and different they are. By what? By what? Getting tattooed. I'm a rebel. Weird. I'm a Marlon Brando. I'm tattooed. Yeah. I'm different. God, have you ever seen such conformity?
You're
never.
Sheeple. Yeah, you're a conformist sheeple. I know. So funny, right? Mm. That's why, I know. It's just upside down and inside out, but I don't know. That's why I say I think there's just going to be more and more calamities. Mother Nature not happy. And
Right. Shake, growl, and roll is coming. And
shake, growl, and roll is coming. And I'm looking forward to it. By the way, I mean, I would, you know, at first when I start studying all this stuff, and you know, it's kind of scary. But you know, no, I'm actually looking at it as a purification that's coming.
I'm tired of the. We got to take a break
here. I don't
even
care.
Yeah, we got to take a break. I'm really tired of the arrogance of this species of ours, thinking they control it all.
Right.
Yeah, let Mother Nature stand up and kick these people in the ass. Hold on. We'll be right back. Dean, you know, every 2 years we have elections, supposedly, to return our congressional representatives or to send new ones to the Congress. And what do, Dean? 94% to 96% are rubber stamped. Yes, I know about vote fraud. Rubber stamped and sent right back to continue their career criminality and corruption. Nothing changes. Now, I'm not saying it's our fault, because I don't think we really have much of a vote anymore. I don't think we have control over these people. It's all stacked against us.
Yeah. It, is and it isn't our fault, though, right? I mean, no, you're saying it's just...
Well, let me jump on...
Man, they talk all about this. Gee, we're going to throw the rascals out, and they never do.
Never do.
And no. I ran for Congress, and they had a chance to vote me in. Oh,
yes,
my God. Can you imagine? And they didn't even do it. And I talked the same way I talk on Jeff Renz's show. I told them about 9/11 was an inside job. I told, you know... Used to say Cheney had to get some boots on and dig some latrines in Iraq if he wants to go to war so bad. And they loved it. Everybody cheered. But, you know, people just didn't, you know, and I didn't have any money. But, man, you know, you could have went out and found out who's running. You could have, you know, studied it a little bit. You could have done something, and just not enough people did. And it's like, why not? If you want change, then you have to vote for change. It's pretty simple, right?
It's very simple. But they don't do it. And if that involves ejecting all the incumbents, so be it.
Yes,
we've
so
got
be
to
it.
Have change. We can't do much worse than we're doing, can
I
we?
Know.
Pelosi?
No.
Jeez, come on.
Yeah,
McCain?
It's ridiculous. Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. I just think people are just too comfortable, and I guess that's it. You know, they
too
just,
comfortable,
they
too much stress, too much anxiety, too much debt, too much diversion, too many
too
drugs.
Much narcissism.
That too. It's all
about their own stuff. That's Americans. You can't even have a political conversation with them. If they do, they take it personal a lot of times. You know, like no, right. I'm not. You know, I'm not attacking you. I'm having a debate. You know, if you travel the world backpacking around like I've done, and you do that and with other people, and it just seems like it just flows, and nobody takes it personal. And it's no big deal, and because they realize, hey, we as humans actually have the ability to talk about things outside ourselves, bigger than ourselves. It doesn't have to always be about us, about me, about I. It can be about the we, the greater good. Oh my God, imagine that. But it's like a foreign concept to Americans anymore. They're so narcissistic. They're so wrapped up in their little thing. And again, social media, internet just makes it more and more like that. Everybody can have a YouTube channel. Every idiot can have a blog. Every idiot wants to write a book now. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to get out there.
Oh, they all have talk radio shows. Don't forget that.
They all have talk radio shows. Yeah. And blogs, this and that. And most of it's just nonsense. But they can do it. And so they think they're so important now. And it just makes it worse. And just feeds into their narcissism and their me mentality, their I mentality. It's never we, you know. And that's really the crux of the problem. And, of course, you know, you have to say, or at least I have to say, in my opinion, that monopoly capitalism just feeds into that. And it creates that mindset. You know, you go to Laos, for example, a communist country, long time communist country, flies the old Soviet Union flags on all the banks still even. People's Republic of Laos, it's called technically DPR, whatever it is, DLK or something. So the people there are so nice and giving, and they share what they have. They're poor. They have nothing. They buy civet cat meat in the markets, man, to eat.
Yeah.
But they'll share their last little thing with you, and they'll laugh, and they'll ask how you're doing, not tell you how they're doing, not tell you how miserable their lives are at all. And it's just the opposite here. Nobody really cares about your life. You know, it's just about their life, and it's always how bad it is and how terrible it is. And, I had to decide what color carpet to buy. I had to decide what, you know, it's so hard. And it's a condition of empire. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's a condition of a comfortable, fat, lazy people, intellectually lazy, especially people who are just become so narcissistic and self-involved that they really, majority of people in this country are sociopathic. They really are. It's
yes,
sad, but you know what? That's karma, dude. That's what happens when you hog all the resources of the rest of the world, and you wonder why the refugees come here, because there's nothing there anymore. It's all been stripped down by our corporations and brought to America and brought to Europe so we can have nice coffee and we can have nice whatever. We have everything, and we have nothing to complain about, and yet we complain about it, and we're miserable. So to me, that's just God right there. I mean, God's happening. Creator happens every day. Mother Nature every day. Responds every step you take. It's either good karma or bad karma. We have a lot of bad karma here, and that's why people are miserable. And if they would just get out of themselves and be more we oriented and try to help others, then they would be happier, they'd be healthier, they'd be smarter, and they would have a good life. And they'd just don't get that. They think by being shitty and greedy and self-involved, they're getting away with one on you, you know?
Right.
And it's just sad to watch, right?
Yeah, very sad.
God.
Very sad.
Sad. Yeah. Anyway.
And you see it, our culture is being, it's being deconstructed. It is being taken down. There's an agenda here. Look at Europe. Look at the trend. The same thing would be happening here if it weren't for the First Amendment. I think that gives those who would do us ill reason to pause. They're trying to take the freedom of speech away from us, which is the greatest formally expressed gift from any government to its people that ever could be. First Amendment, freedom of speech. They're trying to destroy that. They're coming at it from many different angles now. They've got to take that down. So now the line between hate speech and hate crime is really blurred. So they're getting very close. So you talk ill of people, and that's a crime. No, it isn't a crime. Come on. It's okay. It's your opinion. You don't have to like people. You can dislike people.
They claim to love diversity and tolerance.
Oh,
right?
Until
that's their mantra.
Yeah.
But yet they can't tolerate any diversity, and they're the most intolerant people you could imagine. But it's all Hasbara, Mossad, you know, infiltrator Israelis that come in here and do this. That's what it is. And they are. It's Tavistock Institute is at the very top, out of Britain, out of the Crown, out of the City of London, and they have programs like this, and they have programs, and they implement these programs. And like the whole transgender thing, that's a program, that's an agenda. I got nothing against gay people or transgender people, not at all. You go to Thailand, there's girly boys all over the place. But, you know, they just kind of let them do their thing. They don't make a big deal of it, and everybody gets along, and
just
fine.
Just keep
but
it on
no
my
agenda.
Face. I don't care.
Yeah, keep it on my face, but there's not an agenda. When it becomes an agenda, then you know somebody's pushing the agenda. And that's who's pushing it, is Tavistock Institute. Just like they push the whole hippie thing, just like they push the whole, you know, bad acid thing with the Brotherhood of Eternal Love and Billy Mellon Hitchcock. Billy Mellon Hitchcock of the Mellon banking family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And they just promote all this nasty stuff that destroys any viable economic based, you know, progressive left wing thing like Chavez or Assad or something or Putin or something like this, and they just destroy it with all this nasty cultural nonsense. And that's all Israeli infiltration. And on the other side, the right wing, I think, is infiltrated with bigots, open people who hate Jewish people, which is nonsense. And it's Israeli agents that are doing this, that are pushing this stuff.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you hear these people, you know who they are. And Ken O'Keefe comes to mind. Okay, I'll just name a name. I already named Alex Jones. Ken O'Keefe, too, because you can't do that. If you do that, I know you're with the bad guys. You're trying to do harm. And you're trying to destroy people like me and Jeff Rantz, who try to talk about these things in a reasonable way, criticize Israel, but do not hate Jewish people, per se. And that's all Hasbara, Mossad, Tavistock Institute, all of that, right and left. Like you said before, the spokes of the wheel. And they have all these different programs for each spoke. How can we screw up this bunch? They're onto this. They have this good idea. Let's screw them up with this. How can we screw up this other bunch? They have this good idea. Let's screw them up with this. And, oh, by the way, let's, God forbid, never let them unify. Always keep them divided. That's the main thing. Keep them as far away on the wheel as we can. And that's pretty much as simple as it gets, and that's the program. And that's why ISIS, is designed for us to hate Muslims, and it's worked. We've done it. We hate Muslims. Sadly, many people in this country just hate Muslims because of ISIS, because of a Tavistock Institute, Aga Khan Foundation, Crown Corporation.
Who created and who's funding Muslims?
Yeah.
The International Zionism, the British Crown, and the American tax dollar.
That's right. And they did it for that reason, and also, of course, to kill as many Muslims, especially left-wing nationalists, Iraqi, Iranian, Syrian Muslims, as possible in those particular places, because those particular places all nationalized their oil companies, all got rid of their kings, all throughout the British, throughout the Americans, and had some good things going on. It didn't force women to wear burqas because they were progressive. They weren't the Saudis, who are our friends, who force women to wear burqas, who sponsor ISIS. Get it? But no, they just won't get it. The sheeple just won't get it. See, that's the... I mean, it's all right there. It's all right there, but you have to make an effort. You have to study your history. You have to look into these things instead of being a parrot repeater of either MSNBC or Fox News, one or the other, right? It's one or the other. I'm going to parrot one or the other, it just seems like. And there's those sides again. It's just both sides are rotten. And they've been made rotten by these people we're talking about. And that's why you have to think for yourself. You have to dodge all of these Hasbara minefields, all of these intelligence operations. You have to be aware, and you also have to know your enemy. And the only way you can, it's just a Lao Tzu thing. You have to know your enemy. And if you're going to fight a war, and let's face it, this is a war. If you think it's not a war, then you're sleeping because it's a war, you know. And if you don't know your enemy in a war, you're in trouble. And so we have to get people to know their enemy, and we have to talk about these bigger things that create these perceptions, create these misconceptions that people continue to be haunted by, and that continue to divide us, to just divide, divide, divide every single time. We're not going to get anywhere divided.
No, but you see the picture of pictures of General Kelly at the top of the page.
I read. Yeah, he's a creep, you know.
Yeah,
he's a creep.
They're all creeps.
You see the new Morgan Freeman commercial.
I saw part of it.
Who's on the board of that? It's like James Clapper's on the board. Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't lie. Oh no, those people don't lie.
Liar. Yeah. So, but this is more nonsense. He went to the dark side. Sadly, I used to like him, but he, you know, that's what they do with these actors.
He's gone.
Have them get famous, go to the dark side, forget about it. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And, and that's what they want. I mean,
he's gone.
He's gone. He's dark side, and it's too bad. But a lot of them do, and that's what they need. They're Illuminati. They need actors. That's what Trump is. Trump's an actor.
Right.
You know, they need actors. That's what they need. That's what they need, because they have to keep the illusion up. The magicians have to have good actors to keep their magic tricks and their illusions going, so that they can keep their little money printing scam going and keep us enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it all boils down to in the end, is just the whole control of these Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Goldman Sachs families over our planet, probably hybrid Anunnakis.
Oh, they're walking around among us.
Pedophiles and just smudged, nasty, ugly.
Yeah, when the whole thing, that the preponderance of power now is clearly involved with satanic ritual abuse, pedophilia. It's not just a fluke. Look at the Catholic Church. Come on. I mean, it's all, this is the way it is. This is not an exception. This is a predominant culture of the elite.
That's right. That's
human
that's
sacrifice, true. Pedophilia. My God.
Depravity of all kinds. And that's what that does. And that's when you enter into dark. You just go to the dark side and you become evil. And you make a deal with, the Anunnaki. I'm increasingly, my notion of aliens is shifting a bit. It's just, I don't think they're really out there in outer space or anything. I think they're just kind of, you know, it's like more of a energy. And they can be anything. They can show up as anything. But it really is a spiritual battle here between good and evil.
Right.
I know that's true. And there's nothing really in between. You know, there's good people on our side that disagree. Fine. We should. That's diversity. That's great. But there's just these other people who are just evil. And that's the dark side. And that, I think, is the alien influence. You can call it the devil. I think it's the same thing. Native people had different words for it, too, but it's just an energy thing. It's not like they're out there in these spaceships flying around. Most of those spaceships are our stuff that we've engineered. I mean, I'm sure there's some. I'm not saying there's not people out there, too, creatures out there, but they're here, and they're just among us, and they're just...
Yeah.
Permeate our
consciousness. They run the planet.
They're running the damn planet. They're running the planet.
This is planet evil now. It was, but at least there was a patina of humanity here and there, but that's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's going fast.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We have to, again, to thine own self be true, and Shakespeare was right, and it's so important for good people, like the people listening to the show.
We got wonderful people.
And, you know, we have to be true to ourselves, and we have to hold the pole and just, you know, be still, be calm, rational. Don't lash out at anyone. We're doing it now, but that's different. It's the big picture. But, I mean, on a personal level, man, just with your dealings with people, man, just continue to be a decent, nice person with good values. And, you know, we'll just see where it all goes, man. But
well, we will.
Without that, we got nothing. And we got to have people doing that right now. It's so important because it is all about energy.
Right.
And if enough people just refuse to participate in this charade that they're pulling off here, it's going to help. It's going to bring it down. It's going to bring it back to Earth, back to humanity.
Well, let's just hope that at least for now, the generals, and this is a military, essentially, dictatorship, that the generals are happy enough with Trump. They'll leave things alone as long as they can get what they want from him. Otherwise, it'll be Pence or the next Rat Ryan is third in line. They'll just keep moving along till they get what they want.
More United Nations speeches like that, and they'll forget all about Russia, right?
Oh yeah,
leave him alone, and he knows that now. And it's horrible, but. You know, they don't need a third world war. They just need a bunch of tense areas. They need North Korea. They need Syria, Iran. Arms sales, baby. Arms sales. The war in Yemen. All these little brush fire wars. That adds up to trillions of dollars. And that's what they want. They just want a boogeyman everywhere. They don't necessarily need a big war.
Great money and death.
Great money. And that's all it is. And people just, it's just that simple. So don't buy into it, people. And I know your listeners do not. But, that's the key. You just stay calm and don't go along with the crazy people because people are going nuts. Look around you.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. See it every day. Dean, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
You take care. Keep at it.
You too, my friend. And you too. All right. Take care, brother.
All right.
Yep.
Good night.
Yep. Good night.
Dean Henderson, and great man. Back with more after this.